Blog Talk Radio.
Franchise interviews from Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia. You're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews. Welcome to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship. Listen to interviews with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And now, welcome your host, Marty McDermott, and Franchise Interviews.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 9 years, we've been asking the franchisors who own one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and we have a great show today. We're meeting with Christy Wilson-Delk. And after 17 years in corporate sales and distribution, Christy Wilson-Delk decided to risk it all. And in 1996, she sold her house and cashed out her 401k plan for the down payment of a $1.7 million SBA loan needed to buy a Kids Are Kids Academy franchise in Orlando, Florida. Now an adjunct professor of entrepreneurship at Rollins College and contributing writer, Christy has turned her focus to helping others realize greater professional rewards through growing a successful business, and that's coming right up on Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we have a great show.
The Stonecoat Franchise Opportunity. Are you looking for a unique and lucrative franchise opportunity? If so, take a look at Stonecoat. With a patented process which creates a true stone finish on almost any wall or ceiling, Stonecoat is a true game-changing product in the multi-billion dollar construction industry. Stonecoat is applied faster, cleaner, and cheaper than conventional quarried stone, which saves both time and money. With advantages in remodel and new construction of both residential and commercial projects, Stonecoat is a true crossover product. The Stonecoat Franchise Opportunity provides a low startup cost, low operating expenses, comprehensive training, ongoing support, and no royalty payments. For more information on the Stonecoat Franchise Opportunity, go to www.stonecoatfranchise.com. That's www.stonecoatfranchise.com or call us at 972-380-2700. That's 972-380-2700.
Franchise Teacher.
Would you like to know how to franchise your concept or grow your franchise business?
Meet the experts at Franchise Teacher.
The goal of Franchise Teacher is to teach, coach, consult, and advise. The team of experts at Franchise Teacher will evaluate your business model and present you with a winning business strategy.
Franchise Teacher will help you decide whether or not your concept works and if it's franchisable. Franchise Teacher is proud to have over 30 years of experience in franchising as both franchisees and franchisors.
Franchise Teacher are developers of over a dozen franchise systems, which include brick and mortar as well as home-based concepts of nearly 3,000 combined franchise locations.
Whether you need to add more units or get more customers, Franchise Teacher can help. We will teach.
Franchise Teacher will help you learn our proven system.
Coach.
Franchise Teacher will help you provide a game plan to succeed.
Consult.
Franchise Teacher will make sure you stay on track.
And advise.
Franchise Teacher will help you learn from our over 30 years of experience in franchising as both franchisees and franchisors. Take advantage of our free, no-obligation phone consultation. Simply go to franchiseteacher.com or call us at 561-385-3032.
That's franchiseteacher.com or call us at 561-385-3032.
Franchise Interviews. From Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 9 years, we've been asking the franchisepreneurs who own one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and as we were saying earlier, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Christy Wilson-Delk, and after 17 years in corporate sales and distribution, Christy Wilson-Delk decided to risk it all, and in 1996, she sold her house and cashed out her 401k plan for the down payment on the $1.7 million SBA loan needed to buy a Kids Are Kids Academy franchise in Orlando, Florida. Over the next 15 years, she expanded twice and grew her business into one of the largest franchises in her industry before exiting successfully in 2012. Now an adjunct professor of entrepreneurship at Rollins College and contributing writer, Christy has turned her focus to helping others realize greater professional rewards through a successful business. And let's go right into our interview with Christy Wilson-Delk.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think as you do, Christy, that people are curious about franchising. So maybe, we'll start there. What drew you to franchising?
Yeah, that's a great question, Marty. I came about franchising, I think, like many other people, meaning that someone that I knew, someone that I trusted, told me about a specific franchise. You know, in my case,
right.
It was Kids Are Kids Academy.
Yes.
You know, more
Which
so
is interesting.
Than...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I think that's interesting. It was a specific franchise, Christy, you know, and that's, you know, of course, you know, the story goes, and we'll talk about it, you know, that is the one that you went with, you know. But it's interesting because there's so many opportunities out there today in franchising. I think it must be difficult for an aspiring, I guess you could say, franchisepreneur to choose. You know, if you have like 3,000 different systems out there or 2,500 different systems, there's like 80 industries. It's like, how do you know where to even begin? So I guess it was kind of good because your story worked out well and someone pointed you directly to a specific franchise.
Yeah.
So I think that was fantastic. So
yeah,
I'm sorry for interrupting
I wrote
you on your story
recent,
on that.
Pardon me?
Oh, I said sorry for interrupting your story. I just sometimes I'll get a little excited, you know, you'll say something and I'll say, that's it.
Yeah.
Know, and that concept.
No problem. Well, so I have to say it came over time. So in other words, this trusted person who had no vested interest in me becoming a franchisee told me about the Kids Are Kids Academy. And
right.
I listened, but I had a job, you know, and I was very happily employed.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about the beep. But and there came a time over the next couple of years when I didn't have a job. I had gotten laid off. But there again, the timing was just not right for me. And I went on to have a final corporate opportunity with one of those, what do you call them, outplacement companies. So in that role as a outplacement counselor, I was in business development. I was able to talk to many people who were very similar to me, corporate background, et cetera, who were now displaced, and tell them, hey, guess what? This is an opportunity for you. Please view it that way. You can do whatever you want. You can realize some passion. You can go in a different direction, those kinds of things. And then it did happen one day. The light bulb finally went off, and turned on, and it happened because I had an article put right in front of me on an airplane, as a matter of fact, way back when you had magazines. It was an Inc. magazine article about a Primrose franchisee, and I read it and thought, oh, my gosh, that's me. So the dots were connected. And so I guess about being curious about franchising, I think people are generally curious. They're not quite sure how, you know, the whole thing works. You know, they might see something and say, I think that's a chain. I'm not sure if it's corporate. I'm not sure if it's a franchise. You know, we in the industry understand that distinction a little bit better. But I think just if there's a curiosity at all, anybody that's listening should just start asking questions. People love to share information in the field and, you know, on the front lines. If you go into a business and wonder, they'll tell you. They'll be proud.
Yeah, and that's what I found too, Christy, is I think that people in franchising, they are, you know, very giving. I mean, there's a lot of great information out there, you know, and, you know, that's how I learned about you through the internet. You know, I saw a lot of your videos, you know, and I said, wow. I said, you know, I loved your message. What I loved most about your message was you said once in your seminars, you said, you know, if I can do it, you can do it. And it was very sincere the way you said it. You basically, the way you said it was like, I'm an ordinary person. I think a lot of times people have this perception of entrepreneurship that they're, you know, these individuals that quit college or high school and they start a business in their garage and they have this, like, you know, God-given talent that they were just destined to be an entrepreneur. But, you know, I don't believe that to be true. I believe it, you know, that anyone could be an entrepreneur, you know, if they want to be, if they truly, you know, have that passion to be one, you know, if they follow a system or steps or strategies like your presentations give. You know, you pretty much tell your audience what you did, you know, how you did it, you know, you don't leave anything out, and it's very sincere, and I like that message, you know,
thank you.
That if I can do it, you can do it, you know. That's one of the things I really got, you know, that sparked an interest in kind of following you, whether it was through Twitter or LinkedIn and all your videos. So I thought you did a great job with that.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that's very true. And I know you and I have that common thread that we teach entrepreneurship. And
yes.
Which I think is so funny that we both do that. And it's so exciting.
Yeah.
And who knew you could teach it? But the truth
sure.
is... There are parts of it that can be taught, no question
yeah.
about it. And one of the biggest things, and you and I need to talk offline because I'm fascinated, you know, by this topic, is that there are a lot of myths surrounding entrepreneurs
yeah.
and successful
oh, yeah.
entrepreneurs, right? Yeah,
absolutely.
And one of them is that you have to have all these superpowers. No, there are
right.
no superpowers.
Right.
You know, it's who you are, you know, what you have and who you know. And in the world of franchising, a whole bunch of those things are more or less kind of taken care of for you.
Sure.
You're signing on to a brand. You're signing on to, you have support systems in place.
Mm-hmm.
You're signing on to, you know, a lot of different things that you don't have to create. However,
right.
the part that I talk about and that I think, not knowing really at the time, but looking back, separated me from other franchisees were things that I developed as part of my strategy from
uh-huh.
being in business, but also just being open to surprises
sure.
and listening, are the things that I think helped me grow my business. And those are things about being, you know, creative, being building layers of loyalty, making, and I think this, if we could underline this, making sure that even though I owned a franchise, the community viewed it as I'm another small business person, small business owner here,
right.
deserving of your loyalty and your business. So trying to separate without doing it in a, you know, obvious way or maybe very
right.
subtly creating, hey, I'm a small business owner in the community. I'm vested, not this is a chain, this is a corporate entity, blah, blah, blah. So, and I did that strategically with, you know, loyalty and being
right.
competitive and leadership and engagement, things like that.
You were very competitive, too. I noticed that in your presentations, too, Christy. You know, as you talk about the importance of having that competitive spirit. I mean, that's important in entrepreneurship, isn't it? Whether you're in franchising or your own business or whatever it may be. But I think that competitiveness certainly helps, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, and it helps. And for the listeners,
yeah.
if you don't think you're competitive, it's a strange question and it's a strange thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the better way to say it is, you know, if somebody asks you, are you competitive, and you're kind of a little uncomfortable by that, you're normal.
Right.
It's, yeah,
sure.
because there are parts in my life that I am not competitive whatsoever. But
right.
when it comes to your business and you have skin in the game and
right.
a future to build and so forth, you need to start thinking about how you can be competitive. And kind of like what we just talked about, being an entrepreneur, you know, you don't have to be, there's no superhero powers involved. It's very
right.
strategic. Yeah. And so being competitive in business is very different than being competitive on the tennis court or other areas.
Sure.
And so people can develop that. Yeah. But you
right.
need to be, if you want to be relevant and successful. When I say that, I mean, you know, make more money long term. You do have to be competitive. So you can develop it. For sure. And when those competitors start opening up around you, you know, maybe you started off first on the block and you had the best location, they will come. And so then you have to get serious about being competitive.
I think that's well said. I know I'm all over this place with this interview, but, you know, when I was watching your video, so many things stood out. You know, one example that really made an impression, Christy, was someone came into your office, I think it was on a Friday maybe, and they said that they were quitting. You know, they didn't really give you much notice, you know, and it was the bus driver. And it just made such an impression that here you are, you're the CEO of the organization, the franchise, you know, and you said, okay, I'm going to go out and drive the bus myself. I'm going to go get a CDL. And you did that all in the same day. And I think it's kind of like what separates the difference sometimes maybe from someone like yourself. Anybody could do that, right? They could say, okay, well, I'm going to solve this problem. Instead of panicking, saying, okay, well, what am I going to do now? You came up with a solution to the problem. You said, well, I'll do it. You know, and you had no ego about it, saying, you know, well, I'm not going to drive a bus. I'm a president of a company, you know. And it's just there's so many things that I learned from watching your videos that I thought really made quite an impression, you know, is that anyone can do that. But you have to have that, I guess that persistence is what we're talking about, aren't we?
Yeah, it is. And I think as a franchise owner, I think sometimes, because you're sort of instant business owner, I don't know if I've ever actually said this out loud before, but it's pretty easy to fall into that kind of diva, we'd say as a female, kind of diva mentality.
Sure.
Oh, now I'm the owner, but can't do that. And I do think I had good people who I asked. You know, I try to ask a lot of questions or at least listen well, told me, don't be a diva, not in those words. But one of the first ones was Janice Vinson. And Janice Vinson is she's actually the president, and her husband, Pat, is vice president of Kids with Kids Academy. And in our franchise training, she said, and they're very, very Southern, she said, now I'm going to tell you that if the toilets need scrubbing and that toilet in the main lobby is dirty, then you're going to sometimes be the one that has to go and clean that toilet. She said, I sometimes clean the toilets here. And so, of course, you're thinking, really? Clean the toilet? I don't even clean my toilet at my house. But that made an impression. And another person, and franchisees also sometimes think, or potential franchisees, that everything that you learn is going to come from the industry. And that's not true either. But I hadn't thought about this in a long time. But my divorce attorney, I was going through a divorce just about that same time, told me, and she was a successful family law attorney. She told me, because I asked her, you know, gosh, what's your secret? You know, is there any advice you could give me? And she said, your staff will work as hard as you do. So show them how hard you work and how passionate you are about your business, and don't hesitate to do anything if it needs to be done. So those two things at that time had really stuck with me. And honest to God, Marty, on that day, it was just, there was just no question in my mind that it was Friday afternoon. And if I didn't get started on this, I'm sure I could make phone calls along the way.
Sure.
Maybe I'd get lucky. But at the very least, I could start the process of getting my CDL. It was on my list. But it wasn't on the list at the top, that's for sure.
At the time.
So,
it's a great story. Yeah, that's a story I want to share with my students too, Christy, you know, because I think that's important, you know, is that, you know, and the other examples you gave too, you know, with cleaning the lobby or the bathrooms or whatever it may be. We started the show 10 years ago. One of the themes was that, you know, we felt like that everyone has a story, you know, when you buy a franchise. And when I read about yours, it really, you know, it made quite an impression, because here you were a single mom, you sold your house, you cashed in your 401k, I mean, you put it all down on a loan, it was for over $1.5 million, and, you know, a lot of people would have said to you, Christy, I mean, what were you thinking at the time? I mean, that was very risky, wasn't it? You know, I mean, and how were you able to sleep at night? I said, God, that's a story right there. It took some guts, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. You know, I look back and think, yeah, it did. It took a lot of guts. However, at the time, it was definitely the right timing. And you and I, as professors of entrepreneurship, know timing is super critical. And for me at that time, and I think anybody that is in the middle of starting their family, who's had some disappointments in the corporate environment, who sees maybe their friends starting to separate from the pack and start making some real money, you know, the time was right. And I, you know, getting back to sort of that, you know, it doesn't take a superhero to start a business. I knew I had the skills and I knew I had the motivation and I knew I could work hard enough. And I hate to use a cliche, but sometimes you have to, you know,
yeah.
I had done my homework. Now,
sure.
I didn't explore a ton of different franchises, which I don't recommend. I think people should do
right.
a lot of work that way.
Right.
But I just knew that the homework I had done with the franchisor, with the numbers, I built this tremendous, you know, business plan. And that what really, you know, for me, you know, I could at that point, I could care less if it impressed anybody. But that number down at the bottom right-hand corner was the number that made me a believer that I could make some serious money. And I knew, you know, and that's, you know, in the eye of the beholder, but for me, definitely serious money. And I knew that that was my shot. So it did not feel like a risk. So that's my answer.
It's a great response because, you know, we've you know, in doing so many of these podcasts, Christy, you know, I can't tell you how often we've heard, like a lot of times it's like to go with that feeling in your gut, you know, and you kind of just knew it. And yes, you probably could have researched, you know, a dozen other opportunities or industries that were out there, but it sounds like you may have probably ended up in the same place. And you said that the timing was very critical too, wasn't it? You know, I mean, if you didn't take
yeah.
advantage of it at that time, chances are probably somebody else would have, wouldn't they? You know, and you would have had regrets probably, I imagine.
You're absolutely right about that. And in one of those articles, I talk about timing, and it's not just personal. There's a macro factor, of course, and there's also a local market factor. And
right.
Well, this is interesting. I'll just throw it out there because I know some people will relate to it. I live here in the hometown I grew up in. It happens to be Orlando, Florida, and specifically Winter Park, Florida. But most people know the Orlando story, the growth and the tremendous opportunities and so forth over the last probably 30, 40 years. But many, many, many people came to this town and made a lot of money in the real estate market. And as a homegrown gal, I knew that in this particular local market with this particular franchise choice that I had made at that point, that those first two timing issues, you know, were green light. Yes, this is the time now. And the third thing, the personal part that kind of goes along with that is I recommend to people that they look carefully at the industry and try to find something that is somewhat recession-proof because you're going to have, as we all know, lots and lots of business downturns. It's just more common now than ever. And so you want something that's not a leading, you know, indicator of a downturn. But, and I felt like, we call it early childhood education, but let's just call it childcare, was one of those. People need daycare. Whether they don't have a job, they'll need it to look for a job and so on. So think about that when they're looking at timing. It might be at the peak right now, but it won't stay there
right.
through no fault of theirs.
Sure, of course. Yeah, I like how you use the word recession-proof because that's, you know, and every so often when I do these interviews too, Christy, you know, it's always the hot question is, you know, what industries to look towards, you know, and children's services is usually like the one that usually first pops out, you know, as I'll say children's services or the senior care industry or pet care industry,
mm-hmm.
things of that nature, you know, but, you know, those industries are amazing, aren't they? You know, so the industry is critical, isn't
yeah.
it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to have. Go ahead.
Oh, you know, I was going to say, you became very, very successful in franchising. And I think a lot of people probably say to you, Christy, you know, they say, okay, what's your secret? And it's not really a secret because you share everything that you know with your audience, you know, which I think is so wonderful. You know, you don't leave anything out, you know. So, but if someone were to ask you, you know, they said, oh, Christy, what was your secret? You know, why were you so successful in franchising? How do you typically respond to the question?
Well, thank you for asking. I, you know, I reflected on it a lot after I sold, and have probably three or four kind of pillars. However, when I was in the thick of it, I knew that I had to run my business with an eye to continually building revenue, growing revenue, not just building, but growing it year after year, and paying attention to a few key areas. And so I developed a system for doing that. And I sort of, you know, jokingly say it was the way that I, you know, retained or maintained my sanity, because business ownership gets a little crazy. And
sure,
we know that. And
yes,
if you are going around like a crazy person, or, you know, your ADD is coming through and you're just whacking moles, then people don't like that. Clients don't
right.
like that. Your staff doesn't like that. Your family doesn't like that. Your friends don't like that. Nobody likes that. And
sure,
I didn't like that. So I developed a system for addressing a few key areas. And I evaluated those, I'm going to call them systems now, on a regular basis. And in my case, because it was a big facility that included, this isn't one of the pillars, but it is part of a system, you know, I hired a full-time facilities maintenance person, which in my field, nobody did that. In my franchise,
right,
nobody did that. So, you know, there's some synergies there for your listeners, which is, even if you own a franchise, you can do things, I hope, with your franchisor's blessing if you need it, that better your business because you're making it your own, but it doesn't have to be something that you read in the manual. So
right,
if you need
right.
help, you know, do it. I didn't have a partner or spouse to make sure the air filters got changed, to make sure, you know, the
right.
carpets were spot cleaned every 6 months, whatever your case is. So
right,
I
right.
did that. But so the systems had to do with evaluating the competition on a regular basis. So, you know, in my talk or in my list of things is maintain a true competitive advantage. So that's number one. You know, number two would be build layers of loyalty. And that's huge. It may even be
yeah.
the biggest. I can't say, but so the layers have to do with your clients,
mm-hmm.
even your former clients can still refer business, your staff, your community, and last but not least, your franchisor, because they can give you opportunities that you might not get if you don't have a strong bond with them. So layers of loyalty with those different areas, and there may be more depending on what you're doing, other areas. So those four, that's really, really key. And then the last most important one is, you know, on leadership. And it's not the sort of traditional leadership stuff, which we see all over the place, which sometimes is really, really helpful. But leadership,
sure.
because you're just one person, what kind
right.
of a leader do you need to be this year? So all three of those things, Marty, have to do with this year. You heard me slap
right.
my thigh there. I'm slapping my thigh.
Yeah.
Because that's important.
Sure.
Because
of course.
You definitely plan long term, yes. But if you, as one person growing one business, don't stay super focused and super strategic about your coming year this year, hopefully it's November and you're thinking about, you know, this upcoming year, but it's never too late,
right.
then you're going to lose ground that year. So I stayed really super focused on the here and now strategically so that I wouldn't have to reinvent and drive people crazy while I'm doing it. But those four, not but, and those four areas were really the drivers that I used.
That's fantastic. And, you know, you were a franchisee for a long time, Christy. I mean, I would say, you know, certainly longer than average, you know, because I've been studying franchising for a long time. I mean, it was 15 years, wasn't it? I mean, did you know in the beginning that, you know, when you started this whole thing, that, you know, 15 years later, you know, before you sold the business, that you would be doing it for so long?
Well, you know, it's so funny because most franchisees and probably a whole bunch of your listeners don't have this great perspective that you and I now have.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we are both still learning every day, but
right.
I had no clue going into it that there was kind of an average lifespan of a franchisee. And
right.
I hope I'm not speaking out of turn, but my understanding is that it's around the 7 or 8 year mark.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
is that what you... Is that what you think?
I would say so, yeah, from my experience. I studied it for my dissertation, but that seems about right. I would definitely say it's definitely within that area of that, like, you know, 7, 8 year mark would definitely be reasonable, yeah. So
yeah.
When I saw you at 15 years, I said, wow, that's pretty much almost like double, I think, of what the typical franchisee, you know, has their business
yeah.
for. So I thought that was amazing.
Well, so when I learned that, I was surprised. And so then I went back and kind of reflected on, you know, how did that happen? Then I realized that was always part of the plan, and I hope that doesn't sound disingenuous because of the way I introduced it, but here's the little story that goes with it, and for me, it had to do with, and I'm sure you talk about this in your class, it had to do with positioning my business to meet my life needs, and my life needs were, okay, my son is 3 years old. He's going to go to college, knock on wood. When he's 18, that's 15
right.
years. Okay, 15 years. That sounds about right. And then I'll be, well, we won't share that, but I knew how old I would be. And we entrepreneurs, we like change. So I knew by that time I'd be ready for, you know, my third act. So
right.
the answer is I really did not maybe super consciously, but subconsciously knew that it would probably be about that amount of time. And so kind of weird, but absolutely true, when I went to get that Employee of the Year plaque, and I'm a big HR reward and recognized person,
mm-hmm.
when I went to buy that plaque after I opened, I picked out one that had 15 spaces on it, and
wow.
there it hung. And so I had that reminder every year that, okay, you know, I didn't share that. You have a lot of secrets
right.
when you own a business, and one of
sure.
them is, you know, there is an exit plan, but there it was. And, you know, joking aside with the staff, because they say, what are you going to do, Ms. Christie, when you run out of spaces? Are you going to retire? And I'd be like, well, we'll see. But I kind of knew, yeah, that would be it. So it helped me keep my eye on making sure the business looked really good at that point
right.
I was ready to sell. Well, that's about 3 ums in a row. And
okay.
so
That's
it, it
yeah.
helped me. It was a visual reminder and kind of my little secret. So
it
didn't seem
like
a long time. It went fast.
Yeah, it went by fast. And it seemed like it was probably, I guess, the right time to sell too, Christie. You know, I mean, the industry, of course, becoming more competitive when you first started. I imagine it wasn't as competitive at the time when you started the business. And then when you sold the business, you know, you and I both know that there was, you know, a lot more, I guess you could say, players coming into
yep.
the industry, probably particularly in your area because it's such a hot area, that it just it made sense probably to sell at that right time. And you did very well, you know, selling the business. You know, I know financially you did great. So I guess that was part of the plan too, maybe, right? Or it's just the competition, you know, looking at the marketing environment. Yeah.
It was. Actually, Marty, you just kind of connected a couple of dots that I hadn't connected before. And I think that my, you know, getting back to the risk, did you feel like you took a risk when you started? The drive
right.
that I had for the timing at that point was the same feeling, knowing, knowledge that I had about the market timing to exit. So absolutely right on, brother. It was the same. It was, you
yeah.
know what, the time is now, go. And then it was, the time is now, sell. I knew it was
right.
the right time. I got through that 2008 recession, you know, which really not a lot of sweat, thank goodness, because of those
mm-hmm.
things I already talked about. But
right.
the competition was continuing to come. And the business was changing a bit in terms of more interaction in the classroom and whiteboards and things of that nature, which I, because probably my personal life had changed, my son was older, I just wasn't that passionate about that. And when you're a quality business owner, you know, we all know, you really do have to be all in, because people notice. And I knew that that shift was coming for me. So note to self and note to anybody out there listening, don't wait until the shift starts to happen. You really want to be ahead of that, meaning you want to be super engaged in your business when you sell, not the least little bit burnout. Go out on a high.
Right. And now here you are. It seems like this is a new chapter of your life, Christy. I mean, it seems like this is really what you were also destined to do. I mean, you know, it might make you blush a bit, but you are very good at what you do. You know, I've seen your presentations, you know, and I teach, and you do a spectacular job at it. So it seems like this is, you know, a new chapter of your life, and it's kind of like what I think you were also destined to do as well. Maybe, you know, you could tell, you know, listeners about, you know, what you're currently doing now. You know, I know you're writing, you know, you're an adjunct professor at Rollins College, which probably, it sounds to me, getting to know you, that you love it. You know, I can tell that this is, you know, one of your drives. You know, you're very enthusiastic about sharing your knowledge and teaching at the same time. Would I be incorrect in saying that?
You are correct, and it takes one to know one, and I give you all the credit, too, for doing what you're doing, because I know you've been doing this program for 10 years, and you've also been teaching at Kaplan for 10 years. Is that right?
Yes. That's correct, actually.
That's a long
time. This is my 11th year. And, yeah, it seems like I started yesterday as well, you know. And you do. You say, where does the time go, Christy? It just goes by so fast. But I guess they say, you know, time flies when you're having fun, you know. So
it does. And still, that's a big thing, Marty, because that's not only just a lot of commitment, but in order to do that for that amount of time, you must constantly look for new ways to add to your material and your knowledge base and stay engaged, and that's not easy. It's not for everybody.
It's not for everybody, absolutely, you know. And, you know, one of the things you mentioned a lot in this interview, Christy, you know, I don't know if you know it or not, you know, you use the word system a lot, you know, and you have this appreciation for systems. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, in the beginning, too, I mean, was that one of the attractions, I guess you could say, of franchising as well? Because you have this extraordinary appreciation of systems. Was that one of the factors as well, you know, in considering franchising? Because there's a lot of different routes you can go in entrepreneurship. You know, you could start your own business on your own. You don't have to go the franchise alternative, you know. But it seemed like you had that appreciation for systems.
Yeah.
Am I correct?
Yeah. And I do. I do have a strong appreciation for systems that allow you to do the other work that helps you sustain and grow your business. And so I do definitely think that that's one of the things that attracted me to franchising. So those other things, and I appreciate you asking me about what it is I do now and those nice things that you said, and I guess I got off track a little bit, but do give you systems, no question.
Yeah.
However, there are so many things outside of the basic operating manual that with your franchisor's blessing and that good relationship you've developed or your track record and so on that are important for you to address that keep it exciting, engaging, creative, strategic, all those things so that you as a business owner stay really engaged. And those are the things that also make for a really good entrepreneur. And in my classroom and at Rollins, we talk about the two majors are social entrepreneurship and responsible business management. So it's a slightly different take on pure entrepreneurism. So we're talking about doing business well, you know, for the society at large and the community and so on. And that is something too that the franchise industry has really embraced that we want franchisees to embrace some social cause in their community, preferably, you know, that can, you know, do good. Don't just be another business out there. So I talk about that in the classroom a lot. So I love what I do teaching at Rollins. I have a course that is for the evening students, which are primarily professional people that are going back to school, and then the day students, which are traditional arts and sciences students, at this very small liberal arts school in one of the most gorgeous, serene, you know, campus environments you can possibly imagine. So, you know, it's crazy. And I have to say, are we running out of time, Marty?
We have about 2 minutes left. Yeah, but no, keep going, though. This is really
okay.
Good stuff.
Well, when I was a kid in high school, I used to scoop ice cream at a deli, and the Rollins students came in, and, you know, I was a townie, and now here I am on campus teaching, and it's so much fun. But I guess I probably would not be doing myself a solid if I didn't get back to what I do now, Marty, is I work for franchisors and get hired by franchisors to help their franchisees be more successful. And that sounds like a big, you know, a big nut to crack, but it's not.
Right.
I'm super strategic. I talk about growing revenue, you know, translation, making money. And I do it with those sort of softer areas that the franchisor doesn't typically get into, especially if they're emerging franchisors or their operation is just not set up to talk about loyalty and being competitive and things that they just maybe aren't accustomed to. So because somebody gave me these words and I love them, because I've walked the talk, I blew my big moment. I've walked the talk and I, you know, as you said, you know, I'm willing to share the highs and lows of that, you know, in a way, hopefully that ring true and motivate. You know, I hope I can make a difference. So I'm new in this phase of my career, so I'm definitely looking for opportunities to do that and build workshops depending on, you know, the franchisor's initiatives. But I'm all in. I love franchising. I came back to it, if you, I guess one could think of it that way, because I realized after I sold that it's such a great opportunity for people to get into business ownership and still make it their own business. So anyway,
that's fantastic.
I think I answered the question.
I could talk to you all day, really. I probably should have made this a 2-hour interview, but we'll have to have a sequel to, you know, to this interview, because I've really enjoyed talking to you, Christy. You know, it's really been a pleasure for me. You know, and again, I felt like I knew you a little bit before the interview. You know, because I've been following you, of course, watching your videos and things like that. And I said, you do a great job. I have no doubt in my mind you're going to be very successful at doing what you're doing, you know, just as successful as when you had your franchise. You know, I think you are probably going to be one of the big names in just a couple of years in franchising, because you do such a great job at it. And I've seen a lot of these presentations, and I would say yours is probably certainly one of the best that I've seen. So, you know, I want to congratulate you on all your success. What's the best way for our listeners to get more information on you, Christy? Should they go to the website? Is that the best place to go?
Yes, definitely. It's my long name, which is ChristyWilsonDelk.com, and I go by just Christy, but the website is ChristyWilsonDelk.com, and my email is Christy@ChristyWilsonDelk.com, or they can certainly, you know, call me. My number's on the email, I mean, on the website. Or should I give them my phone number, or did that suffice?
Yeah, you can give your phone number too, Chris. Yeah, whatever makes it easier for them to reach you, email address, phone number, any of that
kind
of stuff.
I'm old school, Marty. So
me too.
I like to pick up the phone. Yeah, I know. I didn't know that, but I suspected that you are.
I am. I'm old school. I still like the phone.
Yeah, me too. 407-399-5554. And I'm always excited to hear from people, so feel free to pick up the phone or email me or go on my website. Thanks, Marty.
That's fantastic. I want to thank you again, Christy. This was a pleasure for me, you know, and I'd like to stay in touch with you as well, you know.
The Stone Coat Franchise Opportunity. Are you looking for a unique and lucrative franchise opportunity? If so, take a look at Stone Coat. With a patented process which creates a true stone finish on almost any wall or ceiling, Stone Coat is a true game-changing product in the multi-billion dollar construction industry. Stone Coat is applied faster, cleaner, and cheaper than conventional quarried stone, which saves both time and money. With advantages in remodel and new construction of both residential and commercial projects, Stone Coat is a true crossover product. The Stone Coat franchise opportunity provides a low startup cost, low operating expenses, comprehensive training, ongoing support, and no royalty payments. For more information on the Stone Coat franchise opportunity, go to www.stonecoatfranchise.com. That's www.stonecoatfranchise.com or call us at 972-380-2700. That's 972-380-2700. Franchise interviews from Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia. You're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews.
Today's great quote in franchising is being brought to you by
the Stone Coat Franchise Opportunity. Are you looking for a unique and lucrative franchise opportunity? If so, take a look at Stone Coat. With a patented process which creates a true stone finish on almost any wall or ceiling, Stone Coat is a true game-changing product in the multi-billion dollar construction industry. Stone Coat is applied faster, cleaner, and cheaper than conventional quarried stone, which saves both time and money. With advantages in remodel and new construction of both residential and commercial projects, Stone Coat is a true crossover product. The Stone Coat franchise opportunity provides a low startup cost, low operating expenses, comprehensive training, ongoing support, and no royalty payments. For more information on the Stone Coat franchise opportunity, go to www.stonecoatfranchise.com. That's www.stonecoatfranchise.com or call us at 972-380-2700. That's 972-380-2700.
Hi everyone, this is Marty McDermott, the president of Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews now all years, and during that time, we've had some incredible quotes on the show. Today you're going to get to hear from Lawrence Doc Cohen, who is a veteran of the franchise industry, who first franchised Great American Cookies 33 years ago. He became the first ever franchisee inducted into the International Franchise Association Hall of Fame, and you're going to get to hear from him right now.
What made you decide to go into franchising, Doc? I mean, again, you had, you know, a couple different choices, I guess, at that time of your life. What was it about, you know, becoming a franchisee?
Well, I had been part of other startups, and I knew just how difficult it was to begin a concept. So let's just say I had wanted to be Doc's Cookies. I could have done that. I could have said, all right, well, now I've got to develop a recipe. I've got to do my marketing program. I've got to get the financing. I've got to do an operations manual. I got to figure out how to do it. I got to figure out where the locations ought to be. And your franchising, a lot of that's done for you already. A franchise provides a concept that's been proven and tested. Somebody else has done all that work. The systems are typically in place and have been revised over time to prove that they can be successful, and it was just a great way to go.
Question I've been dying to ask you is, what's changed in franchising? I mean, you've been involved in it for such a long time now. What are some of the biggest changes that you've seen, Doc, over that time?
Well, there have been a number of them. I think probably the most significant is the level of sophistication of the franchisee today, as opposed to when I went into it. And you know, I don't think I'm the most unsophisticated person in the world, looking back. But I really went into this without doing sufficient homework, and so as I said, a lot of this was luck back then. Today, franchisees are much more likely to have very strong legal advice, very strong financial advice, are familiar with things like business plans. I didn't know what a business was when I went into business. I had no idea what a business plan was. And today's franchisees are much more knowledgeable about those things. And today, franchisees are more likely to be multi-unit and multi-branded.
Right.
That's something that has changed significantly over the years, is that today you find franchisees like myself, in fact, that operate multiple brands and sometimes across different companies. So, you know, we have two brands in our from my own franchisor, and then I operate actually three other concepts.
Wow, that's interesting. Are you surprised about the number of franchise systems and the number of industries that are now franchising, Doc? I mean, when you first got into this, you know, going back 33 years ago, I mean, there weren't as many systems, there weren't as many industries. I guess it might have been maybe a little easier to get into franchising because it seems like there's so many choices and so many industries today. Are you surprised at the number of systems and industries?
No, not at all. I mean, it's funny because 33 years ago, I was thinking, oh my gosh, how do I get to be a franchisee? You must really have to know somebody to get one of these franchises. And what I think's happened over the years is that as franchising has grown, people have recognized that it's such a great way to grow a business. So you have an entrepreneur who has this great idea, and the entrepreneur develops the idea and sees it bloom, and he or she gets going with it, and it's really fantastic. And then somebody else sees it and says, "Gee, you know, that's a great idea. I'd like to do it." And you know, as an entrepreneur, you may be sitting there with limited capital, and you say, "Well, yeah, I can teach you how to do this," and you really get excited about the prospect of teaching someone else how to do the business that you've developed and grown. And I think that's what's exciting about franchising. And that's why I think, for one reason anyway, why franchising has grown. It's a great way for an entrepreneur to get more rapid growth of a concept that that he or she has developed.
Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you again soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising from Franchise Interviews. Take care, everyone.